Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon. Presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 5 past 5. You are now listening to Men Talk, the first Men Talk of 2025. With me in the studio is Hedley Smith, Luke Watkins and Chris Arms. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Thank you all for coming in. If you are listening at home and you'd like to get involved, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Now, I asked the ladies last week, and I thought I will ask you this week, New Year's resolutions. Is it something you do? Is it something you used to do? Is it something you've done and broken it already? How do you feel about New Year's resolutions?
The pointless category, I think, is it's like, it's, there's no point. It's never going to keep them. I think, you know, like we were saying earlier, it's a bit like dry January. That fails as well because you're still partying on the 1st of January. So
yeah.
It's like, no, it's... I get the thought behind it, but you know what? Why do it? If you're going to do it, do something at any point in the year. Why just pick January the 1st?
Is it something you've ever done, or have you always kind of felt like that?
I think we probably tried as kids, you know, or when you were younger, you thought, yeah, we'll give this a go, and you know, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, but I just, no.
Not a fan.
Not.
I think it's a good moment for everyone to sort of reflect on things they want to change, you know what I mean? So for that reason, I think it's positive that they can make a list and go, okay, well, I'm going to eat a bit less, I'm going to drink a bit less, I'm going to exercise a bit more. They never do it, but at least, you know, at least they've took the time to write it down. They reckon that stopping drinking doesn't make you live any longer anyway. It just seems longer.
Yes, I get that. Luke, are you a fan of New Year's resolutions?
Hedley's right. I read an article on New Year's Day saying you can't, you know, start afresh without doing an audit of where you are, which kind of made me think that was an interesting thought. So I went to the beach and I sat down and I just kind of reflected on, you know, last year and where I'd got to and, you know, not against any particular goals, but just what could I do better? What would I like more of?
Yeah.
And so it was easier just to scribble some stuff down. Whether I stick to them, you know, ask me next month.
I've made loads of lists.
It's going well so far.
I've had a record.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Like what I'm going to do at work and what I'm going to do, you know, with this and that. Done none of it, but like, you know, I'm doing some of it now. I can't actually get going yet. I feel next week is the week to get going again. Yeah. I'm still in sort of holiday mode and sort of, you know, after Three Kings and all of that.
Exactly,
you know,
just, lasts longer here.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
So next week, we'll write off this week. Next week, it's all going to happen. Yeah.
Fair enough.
The list bit, I do write because I'll just forget stuff. Usually, the list of the stuff that my wife's asked me to do that if I don't write down, I'm going to forget anyway. So I may as well just write it down.
I'm very impressed with you all writing lists. Oh, this is good.
One of my list items was pay more attention to the wife.
I love that you've written that down. Brilliant. So you need to check the list. Oh, I imagine I'd do that tonight.
Well, I thought, in case she finds the list, yeah, she'll really close that down.
Yes, you've got to be careful if she finds the list.
I hope she's at number one instead of like number 28.
I had to rewrite the list when I realised she was number 4. It's not going to work.
Oh, brilliant. So there is a new trend, apparently, for 2025 called underconsumption, where we're supposed to be wanting to make a conscious effort to spend less. And apparently celebrities and influencers and TikTokers are doing, not all of them obviously, but some of them are doing this, and it's become a real trend, making a conscious effort to spend less. Choose reusable goods where you can, you know, the idea of always taking your bags into the supermarket with you instead of buying a plastic bag each time you go, remembering to take them into the supermarket with you. Just generally buying less online, whether it's clothes or things for the house, finding more free things to do that are local to you. So having a picnic maybe, as opposed to going to a restaurant, things like that. Setting parameters around your spending, unsubscribe to marketing emails. So is this something that you have thought of either for this year or, yeah, in general? Do you kind of get the idea of those sorts of things?
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's too many people just waste money on stupid things all the time, don't they? You know, things that are totally unnecessary. But, yeah, I think that's cool. Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
We've already done a bit of it, I have to say, without realising that we were being trendy. we thought that because we were doing a bit of sort of decluttering and sorting of the house and realised that we had quite a lot of different types of pasta and rice and couscous and things like that in jars in the kitchen area, and had kind of got in the habit of eating a certain type of pasta shape, and when it had gone to the supermarket to get more of that type of pasta without realising that we had four other types of pasta there which would have been just as good. So we've got kind of more organised in seeing what we've got and buying things to accompany what we've already got, as opposed to going out and buying whole new meals for stuff. And also we've been starting with a meal and then kind of making it last 2 or 3 days by adding more to it, you know, having like a veggie stew the first day and then the second day adding some chorizo and turning different things like that. So we did a week shop at the beginning of the year that cost under 40 euros because it was no alcohol, no meat, and it was all kind of a lot of pulses that can kind of go far, chickpeas and lentils and things like that. So, yeah, we're already doing a bit of that and it's good.
I've started doing that. We started doing that with takeaways. Okay. So we now have like a curry.
I think I get you.
We have a curry week, so we'll really over-order on day one.
Wow,
there's a bit left for day two, and then you supplement it with just a couple of dishes, you know, on day three, and then you need one more on day four. So you're kind of getting a takeaway every day, but you're paying less and less for it throughout the week. So
that's
it feels
really
like you're getting
clever.
A real bargain on it. I did one week where we thought we'll try as many different curry houses as we can and then pinpoint, you know, the kind of best one and go back there. So that was good.
Is the idea, though, with saving the money that you like kind of, okay, I've saved 20 euros this week and I'm going to put that in this little pot and then we're going to make and then go on a holiday or something like that. Or I'll do some, you know, or not. Is it just generally just to be more frugal?
A bit of both. I mean, I am saving for something. I'm doing a big India trip in March. So I am, from the quizzes and things that I do, I have been saving for a good 6 months for that. But yeah, this is more just kind of general, being more aware of what we're spending and trying to spend less and spend better. Yeah. So there is more money for holidays and things like that that we want to do.
I think there's a cultural difference here as well, is that generally the Spanish seem to be better at repair and reuse than the UK, for example. You know, my wife says, well, I can get clothes repaired here that they probably wouldn't have repaired, or zips in dresses or skirts or something that they wouldn't have done in the UK, or they would have done at a price that kind of
doesn't make sense,
so you end up throwing the garment away.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's a lot more. There seems to be more of a cultural repair and reuse.
Yeah.
So I think that probably drives some of it here, anyway.
Those sorts of trades exist here, don't they?
Yeah.
In ways that they don't in the UK. You know, I mean, just in San Pedro, there's
Yeah, three or four different places where you can go and get
tailors. Yeah. Again, all dirt cheap, and there's electrical repair shops and that sort of, which just don't exist on the high street in England.
And the result is you end up with stuff being dumped at household waste sites,
landfill, or
fly tipped even.
But
you say all of this. I went to La Cañada on. When was Three Kings? Monday. So I went on Tuesday, which was the first big day of the sales.
I never
do this. And I had some time. I was in Marbella. I thought, I'd go and get a couple of bits, see what bargains are. It was carnage.
Oh, I bet.
No one in there is looking at these influencer profiles. And thinking, it was busier than Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Which I also went on.
Lastminute.com.
Absolutely. I like the frenzy of it all, though. The Christmas Eve
shop. Oh, you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. I thrive on it.
And was there much in the sales?
I got a couple of bits.
Okay, good.
What I usually do is go at the end of the sales, where no one's there, so it's calm, but just crap.
There's not as much stuff left, exactly.
I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to brave it. Yeah. But the queues were out the door. Mm.
Does this mean this new frugal approach means that when they have these beach clubs, they're going to start spraying kava around instead of really expensive champagne? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean,
they should be locked fizzy up. Fizzy water, for come on.
They should be locked up for that nonsense.
Yeah.
Honestly, it drives me insane when I see people doing stuff like that. It's like there's dying kids in the world and you're spraying that around.
You're mad. You're going to spend that kind of money on a bottle of champagne. At least have a decency to drink it.
Yes, exactly.
They should ban that. There you go.
Yeah.
It's
gross, isn't it?
It is. I obscene.
Think so. Yeah. What about the idea of picnicking and things? We did that last year, actually, had a picnic, and it was really nice. You guys do a bit of that, don't you?
We picnic a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I think the other thing is, there's a lot of good restaurants down here, but there's a lot of very samey restaurants. Mm.
Yeah.
And so you can find that you just eat the same thing again and again, and the prices, I'm sure, have already gone up all over the place on General Reverse. So you just think, I don't know what I'm really paying for, except what I ate last week.
I mean, every single time it's €100 plus for a dinner for two, and a bottle of wine and stuff. I mean, every single time. And you look at it and you go, really? I mean, that is, it's just like so average, a lot of it, a lot of the time. Picnic, great idea. You
have what you want. Yeah, you can spend as much as you want, as much food as you want.
20 people on €100. But picnic's a great idea. Have you been at the top of the Estepona Mountain to the picnic spot?
No, I haven't.
It's superb. So you ride all the way up the Estepona Mountain, or drive up, or ride up on your bike. And when you get to the top, there's a public picnic area.
Oh, lovely.
And they've got barbecue there as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it's great. There's little picnic tables, and you've got the mega view. So tip of the deer. It's the Estepona Mountain.
It's the climb. I think it was it last year or the year before? It's where the Vuelta de España finished at the top of it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So because they redid the road. It used to be a gravel track down, and they redid the road and
redid it now.
And it's all tarmac. It's really nice up there. If you've gone up on your bike, it's taken you a good hour.
If you go up there, it's freezing at the moment. You go up there and it's like 5 degrees. It is. I've been up there before and it's 2 degrees. But it's but most of the time it's really nice, and they've got that little venter place at the top where you can get dinner if you want. But there's picnic tables and you can all sit there and get stuck in.
Nice.
Sensational view.
Good tip for the day.
Yeah. Well, I will say as well, on the tip front, that we do the barbecue beaches in San Pedro a lot as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You've got to book them, haven't you?
You've got to book them, but they're pretty easy to do the boats.
They're really good.
Are they free? You just book them online, and generally you can get a spot.
Yeah. Really
and it's good. Always, it's such a good crowd of people there.
Yeah.
I had a guy, he was a Paraguayan, something like that, and he came over and he was saying, listen, your charcoal's not very good, let me bring you some of mine, I import it from Brazil.
Oh,
so he was a pariada chef for 20 odd years, so he was a real expert, and then he's like, let me show you how to cook a sausage,
it's
a real kind of community field. So that's another good one.
I've done it a few times, and each time in the summer when you walk past and people are doing it, you think, oh, that looks really nice, I want to do more of that. Yeah, because you can have music and, have your own little party. Nice idea. We better take a break.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Hedley Smith, Luke Watkins and Chris Arms. The world of men's aesthetics, two very different things, is opening up in 2025 as more and more male clients make their way to clinics for procedures. So back in the day, whatever day we're talking about, you know, men in general would kind of brush their teeth and splash their face with some water, and that was it. But more and more, you know, men are taking better care of themselves, face cream, stuff like that, going for facials. Would you go that one step further and consider things like Botox, fillers, stuff like that? You don't need to talk about it personally if you don't want to, but you could just talk about your friend or whatever. But no, I'm interested to know your thoughts. Do you think it's kind of something that women do, or do you get the attraction?
I've used face creams for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
don't laugh. No laughter in the room. There's no judging here.
I'll take it a step further. And
Stop it. You'd be proud, Luke.
I am very proud. I used to go and see a guy in London, in Fenwick, who was a skin consultant.
Okay.
This was not my doing. My mum organised this for me when I was younger. And he was apparently a world-leading skincare. He's a wonderful guy called John Gustafson, very flowery.
Wow.
And because I lived here, he was very worried about, you know, sun damage to the skin. He's like, beautiful skin, Luke, and all this sort of thing. So he put me onto these kind of SPF moisturisers and just said, put this on every morning. So that was kind of what started the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've been quite anti-Botox for a long time. You know, kind of grow old naturally. Not just for men, but for women. And sort of just grow. But as I get older, maybe just a touch here wouldn't be a bad thing. I haven't done it yet.
Okay, but you would consider it?
I do consider it.
Okay.
But I'm not quite ready to go the whole hog yet.
Fair enough.
I don't think I've ever done face creams beyond shaving foam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, I don't think I consider Botox. I can't think of a reason, sitting here, but might change next week, right? I can't think of a reason why to do Botox or anything else like that. Or, I mean, you know, I haven't even considered hair transplants. I mean, yeah, I'm the first one to admit that, you know, I'm losing it on top and there's this nice shiny patch sitting on the top, and it's like, I know plenty of people that do that and go get a hair transplant. It's like, well, you know what? It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I guess back to what we were saying before the break about spending money less. So I can think of other things I'd rather spend my money on than getting a hair transplant.
Yeah, absolutely. It's personal choice, isn't it, at the end of the day? Hedley?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do any of that now. I wouldn't do any Botox. I wouldn't do any... I don't even use face cream.
No.
Just give it a go, though. It's not a good idea.
You look so young, Hedley.
Oh, thank you.
It's so natural.
I think as long as you like keep an eye on the important things like your teeth and stuff like that, that's the thing that you've got to keep an eye on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not anything aesthetic.
It's one of the things they mentioned in the article, you know, getting your teeth done, getting veneers, getting them whitened, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about that?
I brighten my teeth 3 times a year.
Okay.
There's an admission.
Yeah,
but I do it just because I think it's not expensive. It keeps it looking fresh, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just it costs me €100 a year to do that, and it's like an hour little thing, and it just keeps things looking fresh. You know, I think that's a point. But I wouldn't do anything else. I wouldn't do any fillers or Botox or anything like that.
Mm.
So I think if I was completely bald, I might consider a hair thing.
Okay.
Because I know a guy who did it, and it changed his life, really.
Yeah.
You know, he was really conscious about it, and he got it done, and he's like a new man. So,
So. Well, that's the thing. If you're conscious about it, if you whatever it is, whether it's wrinkles on the face, whether it's losing hair, whether it's any kind of cosmetic procedure, you know, if it's something that you feel uncomfortable or self-conscious about, then
that's
I mean, that's why generally people do these things. But if it's something you're not bothered about, then no, it doesn't need to be considered. It's totally personal choice. I just find it sad when you see people, women particularly, when it's kind of glaringly obvious.
Oh,
and I've got friends who are naturally beautiful, and you can tell they've had a lot of work done on their face, and you think they actually looked better before.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. Why did they need to do all that work? It's
If you haven't done it, a good game is to sit in a bar in Puerto Banas Harbour and spot the plastic surgery lookalike. That's a great game. My wife and Lucy and I sit there and go, well, those two clearly went to the same surgeon because they look exactly the same.
Yes, but so many women do now, which is frightening. When you see groups of women in their 20s, they all look the same. They've all got the same lips, eyelashes, hairstyles, hair lengths. I mean, everything.
The lip thing.
The lip thing.
Don't get me started on the lip thing.
I don't get it. I really don't. I don't think I've ever seen a woman who's clearly had her lips done and gone, she looks great.
No, never.
I don't get why. And men seem to think the same. So I don't get why women are doing it. I really don't. It's a really strange thing. Leave your lips alone. There we go. That's another tip. Okay, this is an article which made me laugh because I saw something like this happening when I was on a plane this Christmas going to the UK at one point. So man refuses to swap plane seats so his 7-year-old boy can sit with his dad, and people agreed with him and gave him a round of applause. It's a 29-year-old man. He was looking forward to enjoying the view from his window seat on his short 70-minute journey and was surprised to find the 7-year-old boy in his seat upon boarding. The father asked me if I would mind swapping so they could sit together and that their seat is the row behind. I said that I'd only swap if it's a window seat, and he said, no, it's an aisle seat. Then the father challenged him with a question, so you want to sit next to my son? To which the passenger stood firm, declaring he didn't mind who his neighbour was as long as he had the window seat, which is what he paid for. And I have to say, I was on a plane and I saw a couple of seats in front of me. There was an older, larger gentleman that was sitting on the aisle seat, and he had kind of swollen ankles and was obviously making use of being in the aisle seat because he had his leg stretched out. And a younger man in his early 50s, I'd say, came along and said, oh, excuse me, this is my seat. And the man just said, oh, do you mind? I want this seat, and he pointed to his ankle and everything. And the guy kind of reluctantly said, okay. And then had to sit in a middle seat. So the guy got up, so he sat in the middle. And you can tell that he didn't want to do it, but he was just being polite because this guy was obviously, you know, had health issues and wanted the aisle seat. And I thought to myself, he should have bought that seat if he needed the aisle seat for health reasons, or if you want a window seat because you want to look out the window, you pay for it. You know, we all have the opportunity to buy the seat that we want. If you don't buy the seat that you want, you can't demand where you sit.
Exactly.
Agreed.
It should be that simple.
Period. Yeah, that's exactly how it should be.
And I've been there, and it's like, no, it's like, my wife and I want to sit together. The fact that you would basically too cheap to book a seat and took a look at check-in, and when you got to the desk there weren't two seats next to each other. Well, honestly, sorry, that's your problem.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sympathetic about that at all.
No, if a father and his 7-year-old son wanted to sit together, they should have bought the seats to sit together.
One thing that I wonder about on an aeroplane when you get on, and then there's lots of spare seats, yeah? Imagine you're taking off and there's loads of spare seats and you go, oh, well, I'm just going to, like, move across to that one because there's more space there.
Yeah.
And they make you move back to the seat that you were... Until the planes took off.
Oh, yeah.
For balance, the plane...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hang on a second, yeah. That worries me a lot. Yeah. Me moving from there to there is going to make a difference if we take off or not. Yeah. I mean, like, really? So that always makes me laugh every time.
Definitely.
Stupid rule. I'm literally just move across to that one because it's three empty seats or something like that.
Yeah, that is really stupid. And when they say about balance, not even just moving there, and you look around the plane, you think this isn't balanced anyway. So that slight movement is not going to make any bit of difference.
I've had it a couple of times where I've taken the extra legroom seat that I haven't paid for, you know, it takes off the legroom seats, and then you think, well, no one's going to use it. And then I felt a little bad for the people who I'm sitting next to, who obviously had paid for it, and are looking at me knowing, you've just moved from a cheap seat over there to this expensive one. It's free, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Yeah. We don't, especially on shorter flights, we don't always pay for the seats to sit together because if a flight's a certain time and we know that we're likely to sleep, as opposed to a time kind of during the day where you might, you know, have a couple of drinks and whatever. If it's a time, an awkward time that you're more likely to sleep, then we're not bothered about sitting together. So we don't bother doing. But then we're not going to start saying to people, can you move so we can sit together? No. Yeah. If there are spare seats after you've taken off, gone by the rules, and it's okay to kind of move, then we do. But if not, then we don't and just go to sleep and it's fine. All good. So, yeah, well done to this man. Everyone literally clapped him.
Hannah Murray, TRE, in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Hedley Smith, Luke Watkins and Chris Arms. There's an article here where it's two women, and she says, I have a close friend who I've known for many years and we meet up every so often for lunch and a catch-up. For a long time, we were able to meet at a local pub and we'd always share a bottle of wine together. However, recently our local closed, so I started offering to drive us to another pub, which I was happy to do and was also fine with not having an alcoholic drink. Although my friend knows I won't have a drink because I'm driving, she still puts a bottle of wine on the tab and drinks the whole thing herself and then asks to split the bill 50-50 when it's time to leave. What do you think about this? Would you say something? What would you say? How would you say it? All this kind of awkwardness to do with bills and splitting bills, and does it matter how close a friend it is, etc., etc.
I think there comes a point, right? I mean, I remember sitting in a restaurant many years ago where people would go, well, who had what meal and who had what drink, and they somebody individual, and I think generally most people have got beyond that as they get older. They just go, it's kind of, you know, it kind of figures itself out. But I think if you were out with somebody and they bought a bottle of wine and drank the bottle of wine, and you were the chauffeur, the very least they could do is probably pick up the tab for the bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those, isn't it? If it, just because it's something you would do, it doesn't mean it's something that the other person would do. So, you know...
What's the other person drinking, the non-alcoholic person? What's she drinking?
I don't know.
She could be drinking something really expensive as well.
Yeah. I don't think she is,
you know,
but
what I mean?
Yeah.
She could be drinking, like, you know, funky cocktails without any alcohol or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, costs the same as...
There is a strange thing, as I said to you guys beforehand, I'm not drinking at the moment for medical reasons, and it is really interesting when you go out with a lot of people and they're drinking a lot, and that's fine. And I'm drinking water.
Yeah.
So I may as well just do that if I'm not drinking anything. And then you split the bill, and there's an element later, I'm going, how do I feel about this?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you're not drinking, you start to...
The premium element of the bill is the booze.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, you know,
is this fair?
Occasionally, you know, once in a blue moon, you go, it's not a problem at all. But when it becomes, you're out every week, and you're like, I'm fucking paying for a lot of stuff. I'm
are,
not
are your mates listening to this?
I hope so. Can I call them by name?
Just call them out. Come on, let's call them out.
No, but it's true. You notice it. Obviously, if you're the one drinking, it's very easy to go, oh, just split the bill, it's fine, or whatever. But when you're not, you really notice it. Well, if people have been having gin and tonics and bottles of wine and, you know, the bill's 50 whatever ahead or even more than that, and you think, well, I've had a bowl of pasta and a fizzy water,
yeah,
it's like, that's not okay. It's not. And people should say, well, hold on a sec, they're not drinking, so they should pay less. I like to be quite kind of conscious of that. So instead of the person who's not drinking, having to go, oh, sorry, I haven't drunk, and feeling embarrassed to do so, I like to kind of notice and say, well, they haven't been drinking alcohol, so they shouldn't pay as much as everyone else.
Everyone should just chuck the fair amount in, you know, for what they've had. I mean, often I'll go out with a group of guys, one guy's drinking vodkas and whatever at €9 a drink, and I'm drinking beer at €4 a pint, you know.
Yeah.
So his bill's double mine. You know, but and everyone should just chip in what the same amount is, really. And if somebody's drinking water, they should just put a little bit in.
Yeah.
You know, you need to change your mates.
It's very good. Let's go out.
It sounds really obvious,
but some people don't do it.
And then also, which has happened to me loads of times, if someone, whether I say, oh, well, they haven't drunk any alcohol, or someone says, I haven't drunk any alcohol, someone will go, well, I didn't have a dessert. Or someone will go, oh, well, I didn't have a start. And then it gets,
then you do end up with that itemised, everyone's got their phone out, and they and someone's done it wrong. So, you know, the first person does it and someone else isn't happy. Give me the bill. I'm going to check this.
Yeah.
I'll pay the €20. You know, I can't be bothered to stay here. Just take the money extra.
It's kind of like the common sense, right? If the couple of you are out and one of you is just having water and, you know, but as we were saying earlier as well, it's all going to get really interesting here because the drink driving laws changed on the 1st of January.
Yeah.
So now basically it's a glass of wine. Well,
it's not even worth the risk.
It really
isn't.
So now, I mean, basically your mouthwash could probably put you over.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. But there's the concern. People are concerned about, like, the morning after, you know, if you've had a party or whatever the night before, it's still being in your system if you're out driving early the next day.
So I think it'll make some interesting conversations because you're going to find more and more people are not going to drink because they can't, you know, people go out and have one, although I know a bunch of friends here either have one or 20 and then decide they're going to drive because they can't walk.
I've never
understood that logic.
It's not logical at all.
But I think it's going to change the debate a little bit, isn't it? So you really can't have anything. So there's going to be more and more people are going to be in that situation, and it's going to lead to an interesting set of discussions.
It's good news in my pocket, at least.
Yes, absolutely. You'll be happy with that. This is a fascinating one to do with men and communication. So there's a guy who's written this article who basically is talking about his friend's boyfriend. So he has a female friend who has a boyfriend, and he and this guy, whenever they bump into each other, get on well, you know, ask after each other, have a similar taste in music. And he was going through Spotify and he saw this album and he thought, oh, I bet this guy would really like this album. So he got hold of his number and he WhatsApped him for the first time, sending him this Spotify playlist or whatever, and said, hi mate, I think you'd really like this. And this guy didn't reply. And he kind of thought, oh no, did I do too much in terms of communication? Did he not like the album? Does he not like me? And was kind of thinking, oh, this is a bit weird. And then after a while, when he saw him, he said, oh, did you get that thing I sent you? And he said, oh yeah, it was great, thanks. And it was all just kind of fell a little bit flat. And it was just in this article brought up an interesting conversation of men when it comes to texting and communication and whether they're different when communicating with their wives or girlfriends or even female friends compared to other men. How common is it for you to either message your mates and say, how you doing, want to go out for a beer, or oh, I think you'll like this song or whatever, or even reaching out to a guy that maybe you don't know really well and saying, oh hey, how's it going, you know, that kind of thing.
I think if our wives are listening to this now, they're going to be going, let's think about how we communicate.
I've never sent a playlist to a man.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that's a little...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little too much.
It's like, oh, here's a nice playlist. And like, it's like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, yeah, okay.
You know, but like, yeah, text me mates, are you coming out for a beer?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put any kisses on the end, you know, when I send it to the boys. But, you know, I'm not sending anyone a playlist.
No. Was it a playlist or was it an album?
I think it was an album.
I mean, a curated playlist is slightly different.
It was an album.
It was a Pet Shop Boys curated playlist. I'm not sure. This is the
village people are. Yeah.
No, it was an album. Sorry, it was an album.
I think we could all look at our WhatsApps and go, it's like, you know, the conversation me and one of my mates were having this week was, okay, so are we going to Burns Night a week on Saturday? And, you know, that was, you know, and who's got the menu and how much is it and who do we have to pay? That was the discussion.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, I know the girls were talking about it, but I'm sure if I looked at their conversation about it, it was about what am I going to wear and everything else. And it's like, well, yeah, I'll just, you know, pull something out of the wardrobe and they're going to be sitting there. So I think there is a different style of communication. And I think some of it is gender related, right?
Mm.
I tell you what really irritates me with WhatsApp is the people who have the sentence of two grey ticks.
Yes!
Oh! Yes. Don't get me started with that.
Because you never
one.
Know whether never they've know. Seen it.
Yeah, I mean, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Yeah. It's like a little game, you know? Have I read it? Have I not? Ooh, honestly. Yeah. My daughter does it if she's listening. Yeah, and I don't know if she's got the message or not got the message.
No,
and
exactly.
There's a lot of people do it.
I guess that's the point of why they do it, because they don't want you to know whether they've seen it or
there's
not.
A few people do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is infuriating. Now you can, and it's because most people just leave the setting as is, and they just kind of, and you know they've got it. No, but then of course you get into, well, I know they've read it. Why haven't they responded?
Exactly.
That's why they go two great takes, so they can take the time to respond.
Definitely. Thinking
about it, oh, well, I never read it. I never saw it. You know. Oh.
Luke, how do you feel about communication?
I had a bit of an epiphany about it.
He wears face cream, so I bet he's a better communicator. Well,
you know what? Like a lot of things in life, I'm quite sporadic at it. So when I do it a lot, and you know, people really appreciate it, and then I'll disappear and won't respond to playlists and all that sort of thing. Because, gosh, what a, you know. So I have moments where I'm really good at it, moments when I'm really not so good. But I had an epiphany not that long ago when a friend of mine who I hadn't spoken to for ages and sort of did that reach out, hey, you know, what's going on? And we were texting a bit and it became just silly, you know, sort of slagging each other off. And he said, I've really missed us talking like this. And I thought, actually, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Just to kind of send these stupid, nothingy messages that really don't mean anything.
Yeah,
at all.
Banter.
Exactly, banter, that's the term.
Wouldn't it be better to give him a ring, though, and have a little chat? Because these messages, you know, just ring up, you all right? Have a bit of crack on the phone rather than these, you know, and it's like, it'd be much more spontaneous, isn't it, if you ring people up. We're not ringing up enough anymore. Nobody talks anymore. It's all on message. I do it myself, the phone rings, but I don't know who it is, I'm not even answering it. No. I'm like, no, don't want to talk to you, but I'll message them back, can I help you? You know what I mean? I'm really like fun now.
Or you could,
but to talk more, it drives me mad.
It does seem like in general we're much busier as human beings, so very often if my phone rings it's inconvenient. A lot of the time it's inconvenient, either because I'm at work, I'm busy, you know what I mean? So it's not always convenient to call people, whereas it you can always message someone and then they get back to you when it's convenient. I think calling someone, it's become a bit more intrusive because you never know what people are doing. And if you're calling someone, you're expecting them to drop whatever they're doing and pick up the phone and speak to you, which, of course, used to be more normal. But now it feels a bit like, well, it's not the right time to speak to you now. Mm. Send me a message. Mm.
But a lot of people are using messages as a cop-out for proper communication with important people. I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but like certain people, when they message me Merry Christmas and stuff like that, I just want to go, oh! Like, you know what I mean? Like, why can't you pick up the phone? You know, like, you know what I mean? These are, you know,
I'm a big
key
fan
family
of,
members, you know.
Big fan of a voice note, though.
You can
definitely
feel it more. Yeah, but absolutely. Messages can be disinterpreted and also misinterpreted.
The only issue with a voice note is, again, sometimes if someone sends you the voice note and it's not even convenient to play it, whereas it's easier to read a message, because someone said that to me recently, that they don't like receiving voice notes because if they're in meetings or they're busy, they can't play it, whereas if it's a message you can kind of glance at it, so you need to be in the right kind of situation to play the voice note.
Yeah, or the friend of yours who's got a very broad Andaluth accent send you a voice note in Andaluth and you can't stand in front of them and ask them a question about what did they really mean, because you're trying to figure out from this voice note which words they've truncated and what they really were, and so those are the impossible voice notes to understand. You've had that, haven't you?
Brilliant. So do we think, I'm saying we, as men, could you be better communicators, or are you happy with where you are?
I think it depends on the audience, right? I think I think it's fair to say, speaking personally, there are some things, there are some people I can do better communication with, and there are some others who would look at me if I did that and go, really?
Yeah.
I think women are better at communicating, getting the hell and chatting to the mates and stuff more than men are. We tend not to bother that much.
No. It's like the text is, you know, yeah, the text is the, do we want to meet up for a beer this weekend or something?
Exactly.
Or,
yeah, it's a functional text, isn't it?
Yes.
It's kind of organized. Let's have a purpose for I'm sending this.
Yeah.
Message.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, if you're, why I wasn't being silly when I said, are you happy where you are? Because it seems when we're talking about men communicating with men, if you don't feel the need to kind of change and communicate in a different way because you're not feeling like that men should be communicating to you in a different way, then there's no need to change, is it? You know, if we're discussing this and you're thinking, yeah, you know, we should have deeper conversations on WhatsApp, or I do wish I spoke to my friends more, or, you know, if you were thinking like that, then there could be changes to be made. But if you're not, then, well, fine. Happy days.
I think we should be ringing each other up more. That's my opinion. I think you've got to ring... you know, close friends, or spend a bit of time and have a chat with them rather than a little wishy-washy message here and there.
Mm.
True, and video calls are great.
Yeah, yeah, they're really
good. Yeah, I did a video call with my friend last night. Yeah, it was really nice.
Much better connection through doing that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Although, it was the video call I did this morning that made me think of the Botox thing. That hasn't come.
Yeah, try not to look at yourself
focus. I'm the big picture on my own screen.
Oh, no, you have to change that.
Have you still got a receipt for that cream?
He's going to show an advert for the cream. He's going to drop a brand in. And then he's going to bring
it. For someone to call me and say, could you do one of those voiceover for our ads, please?
Yeah, exactly.
Botox shots.
He's going to ring his makeup and say, all right, I got your cream in, you know, where's my commission?
Brilliant. We better take the last ad break before we talk Valentine's cards.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of Men Talk with me in the studio today, Hedley Smith, Luke Watkins and Chris Arms. There's an article about Valentine's Day cards. It's talking about this specific one. But before we talk about this specific one, I just thought I'd ask you about Valentine's Day cards in general. Is it something that you celebrate? It's a personal thing. Some people love it. Some people think it's commercial and a waste of money. Thoughts.
Over to you, boys.
No, not really. I mean, we've been together for about 15 years, so you know, it's petered out. But it might be the year to bring the romance back, actually. So,
there you go. It was on your list.
It wasn't quite romance, but I can always add to the list.
Yeah, definitely.
It's still January. I went to a florist in San Pedro one Valentine's Day this was in the early days of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I thought, God, I better get something. Oh my God, you've never seen anything like it. I mean, the queue of men, it was worse than Kenyatta on the 3 Incredible.
Wow.
So that was when I decided I don't want to do this every year.
Fair enough.
I mean, bro, they're so expensive as well. I mean, the commercial, it is just overly commercialised. You know?
So tell me, you know when you don't do something on Valentine's Day, and how does that go down?
Well, you know, yeah, do a cup of tea in the morning with a special biscuit, something like that, you know, really to turn it on like that.
But have you had the conversation that you're both okay with not doing it? Because that
I think generally every year we sort of agree, let's not do it, you know, let's not.
Okay, fair
let's
enough.
Let's go to bed early.
I think we do the cards, but...
not so. Not like
okay, yeah.
Different kind of Happy Valentine's!
Change the subject.
You couldn't just rub some of that cream.
Sort me wrinkles out.
Oh, dear.
Go on, Chris, save the day.
I'll try. Cards we still do, but I think we got beyond the point. It's the same problem we have with Christmas presents. It's like, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. Well, it's like it's the same challenge. I mean, we've been married 32 years this year, so it's like, you know. And if we want something, we'll first of all, I got way past the point of trying to buy my wife clothes because that's just a disaster waiting to happen. So it's like, well, you know, yeah, cars, but nothing beyond that, really.
God, you guys are so romantic. Oh my God. What's the matter with you? Go and get us some flowers.
We always do, I have to say.
Take her for a picnic. There you go.
Yeah. We always do cards and presents on Valentine's Day. Not necessarily flowers, really. More presents, or a present.
I think the dinner
and then go out for dinner, you know, or make each other dinner.
The dinner thing always doesn't really work, I don't think. But you know, because it's so expensive, isn't it? It's not about the money, but it's about like maybe cooking dinner. That could be more personal.
Yeah,
and like, you know, and doing all that kind of thing. But
or go to a restaurant that hasn't got a specific Valentine's Day menu that they're charging £200 for a piece of fish.
Yeah, that's the other thing is it's the card's fine, but the commercialization of have come to our Valentine's Day menu. It's like really, I can come the following day and pay half the price.
Exactly,
and it's the same menu.
Exactly. But it's not Valentine's Day. You've got to do it on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Just think of the benefits if you like, you know.
I just get told it's a waste of money.
Yeah. Well, if you're
twice the price.
Yeah.
If your wife thinks it's a waste of money, then you're up against it, aren't you? Really? Because she's just going to, what have you spent all that money for? Why have you done that?
Exactly.
We should have saved that and got, you know. Got
that's why I said you need to be on the, make sure you're on the same page. If you both think it's a waste of money and you're both not bothered about it, then absolutely fine. But if one person thinks, oh, it's a waste of money, and the other person's going, I wish you'd buy me flowers, then you've got a problem.
But I think, I mean, critiquing myself more than anything, it's easy to cop out with those sorts of things, though, isn't it? And go, should we just not bother? You know, it's expensive. Should we not bother? But it is nice to actually
shut up
sometimes. I'm going to do it this year.
I hope
she's not listening, because the surprise is...
Yeah.
I won't do it on Valentine's Day. Just as a actually, hold on. I proposed on the 13th of February, because I thought if I did it on Valentine's Day... She might suspect something. So I did it the day before.
Could have been a bit cheesy on the 14th, couldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm much more romantic than I get myself credit for.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, see?
You know.
I mean, some people say, you know, I don't need a day to tell me when to be romantic and things like that.
I think we do, by the sound of things.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that's okay to say if you are being romantic other times of the year. And if you're not, then it's like, well, you do need a day. It's kind of a good excuse to ensure that you do something together, whether it's staying in, having a nice meal, or going out and having a nice meal. It's sort of a guaranteed date night in my head, that like this is for us to spend time together and enjoy each other's company.
Well, as my wife keeps reminding me, it's like, you know, It often falls in the middle of the week, right? Which means she's got to be up. And her comment is, it's a school night, basically. So it's like, you know, if it's on a Friday, different issue. But if it's like on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, it's like, well, we've got to get up to work the following morning.
I hate to tell you, I think it is on a Friday this year.
I checked my
Valentine's. How do you know?
Because
he's
more romantic than he admits.
Absolutely.
A friend called me, so we're going to San Sebastian.
Your wife's thinking of
going on the 14th to do a weekend. And so I think that might not be the best day.
But happy Valentine's Day, I'm off with the boys. Yeah.
Checking over here now, aren't
we? I can't find it.
Which day of the week it is. If it's a Friday, fine. But, you know.
Yeah.
But,
oh, hang on. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
There we go.
I can combine it with my birthday, which is on the Monday, and we can do two for the price of one.
Oh, God,
you've just murdered it.
You've just completely murdered it. Taking the romance out of it. Two for the price of one. Oh, there's one I really wanted to ask.
Dear.
We've got 1:30, so we're going to have to do this really quickly, because it's a really good one. The whole idea of being stuck in a musical rut, listening to the same 25 songs on repeat. Do you embrace modern music, or are you constantly listening to music from like the 80s or 70s or whatever?
Yeah, I'm listening to all the old normal stuff. Yeah, and I need to listen to some new stuff. There you go.
Okay.
I think it depends. Sometimes I'll go through... I mean, I think over Christmas we had a couple of nights where we just played 80s music.
Yeah.
But, you know, then just turn the radio on, really, and, you know, just see what's on. So... Mm. It's a mixture, I think.
Yeah, mainly old, but then I'll sometimes think, I should do updating my collection, and I'll just hit, you know, current hits or whatever is on Spotify, and then I don't want to listen to this crap when you go back to the old.
I've got a playlist on my Spotify, which is called Happy 2022, which I created that year, which has got all kind of music from that year, but kind of decent kind of uplifting dance chart music, and I've just kind of added to that ever since with all modern stuff that I like.
Have you seen that DJ X on Spotify?
No.
You know, if you go on a search, you know, search for a song, you just press DJ X, and DJ X gives you a playlist of new things that you haven't listened to yet,
and that
relate
the
to the other stuff.
DJ X. That's our final tip of the day. Thank you guys very much for coming in today. Thank you, Hedley, Luke and Chris. Have a great weekend. Howard is next.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader. Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.